Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots to the voice of the American Redoubt. The American Redoubt is the safe haven and refuge where God-fearing, liberty-loving Christians are making their strategic move to ahead of the fall of the empire. That sensation that everybody feels in their gut, they say, we got to move out of here, wherever here is, and they got to move to somewhere. Well, they're being led by the hundreds and by the thousands to the inland Pacific Northwest, the already conservative, strongly conservative, heavily Christian demographic region known as the American Redoubt. It is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington, eastern Washington, formerly known as Eastern Washington, now known as Liberty State. And don't forget our friends and our allies outside the wire in occupied territory fighting the good fight wherever they are, especially our friends in the state of Jefferson, those counties in Northern California and Southern Oregon, the state of Jefferson. They got their own fight there. So if you haven't done so, then I encourage you to go check out State of Jefferson, their website, and find out how they're coming along. We've got a lot of lessons that we can learn from them, and we are. Some great collaboration that's taking place, and you can look forward to hearing more about those folks in the coming weeks on Radio Free Redoubt. Good stuff going on. In the midst of the insanity in our culture, it's coming apart at the seams. But we've seen this coming for a long time, and this is just the cycle. It must take place. So how do you maintain your own integrity for your values and your beliefs? You got to dig in deep. Everything that we stand for, everything that America was built on, is being challenged now. Truth is being called lies. Lies are being held up as truth. And you have to have a supernatural level of discernment. The things put on your prayer list, these things: courage, wisdom, discernment, humility, and they will serve you well. We are going to need all of those things in the times ahead. Remember to pass the word. It's on how to listen to Radio Free Redoubt, the tab, the listen tab. But if you didn't know, there's a lot of folks out there that have a limited bandwidth or metered internet bandwidth. And so you can listen by dialing the following number: 857-757-1085, 857-757-1085. And you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on that listen tab if you need more information on how to listen. That's through our Voice Stream HD Pro that we are streaming on live on Sunday nights now. So thank you guys for being out there. Now let's get down to the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by author Glenn Tate and the 10 book series, the 299 days book series, with the audio books out as well. And if you haven't been over to 299days.com, they're announcing the very soon to come release by Shelby Gallagher. We interviewed her last year. Well, her book is about ready to be released, coming up real soon. So we'll bring you more on that when that comes available. A little bit of a shakeup here with some additional. This is going to be a lot of American Redoubt news. I've got only a few stories here, but pretty important. Idaho senators' reaction is stirring up social media. What they're talking about is a bunch of students, snowflakes, decided to go pay a senator in Idaho a little visit to let him know, Senator Dan Foreman, saying, calling him a liar. Apparently, these folks have been stood up by Planned Parenthood, from what I understand. So they wanted to go marching into the Capitol to give him the what for, and he wasn't going to have anything to do with it. He wasn't going to play their game, knowing that this whole thing is a staged protest, finger wagging, you're a murderer type confrontation that he just didn't want to participate in. Well, they found him in the hallway and he confronts him. So now he's getting the tongue lashing from the senior Senate leadership. In the video, Senator Dan Foreman can be heard saying, "You want to talk about disrespectful and rude? I should play back that conversation where you're accusing me of being a liar, not honoring my commitment to be in a meeting. Abortion is murder. I stand against it." He said, "I stand against it. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm a conservative Republican. I think what you guys do stinks." They're all freaked out because the senator raised his voice at him. They drove all the way down there to give him the what for, and he didn't want to play their game. So now the senator is in trouble for telling these guys to stick it. Stick to your guns, senator. Little snowflakes, little abortion pro-birder baby murderers. Tell them to take a hike. Good job. Another one, too. Oh, this is beautiful. Idaho private school moves forward with an AR-15 raffle. This is in Post Falls, Idaho. I spoke to them this week, and the raffle is still going on. And this is making the news. This is making some people's heads spin. A private Idaho school is standing behind their decision to raffle an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle for a school fundraiser. Some people are criticizing the Classical Christian Academy, also known as CCA, in Post Falls, saying it's wrong of them to raffle the same model of firearm used during the mass shooting at a Florida high school last week. CCA declined an interview with KXLY and directed us to an online statement that noted they have no plans to change their fundraiser. You know, here in the American Redoubt, people still believe in the inherent right of self-defense. And I also want to note the latest news flash that just came in. According to this report, 3.5 million gun owners killed no one yesterday, including me and including everyone I know who are armed to the teeth, killed no one. In fact, stand in the gap, ready to defend life and liberty and property. So don't punish the rest of us for the crimes of someone else. And the real crime here is when you, leftist, communist, anti-American individuals, remove God from our schools. The separation of God and children, that's when all of this started really taking us down the sewer drain. But the inherent right to self-defense and to be armed hasn't changed. We're not going to be punished because of the crimes of someone else. But what they do want to do is, it's interesting. Oh, so anyway, this AR-15 raffle is still going to go. Now, if you want to support them, they're $50 a ticket. I called and asked. It's $50 for a ticket, and that supports the Classical Christian Academy as a fundraiser. So good on them. Back to the other story here. And this is where they're losing their minds. Heads are exploding now over this hyper paranoia over guns. Now in this article by PJ Media, there's a student facing expulsion after saying that a math symbol looks like a gun. Students at the Oberlin High School in Oberlin, Louisiana, caused an uproar when they spread rumors about a boy who had joked about a square root symbol looking like a gun. The joke quickly became a tall tale that claimed this boy had planned to attack the school with guns and bombs. The Allen Parish Sheriff's Office responded to a call from KPLC. They received an anonymous tip. Yada yada. We've got some issues. Absolutely. Now, here's another one out of the American Redoubt. Once again, Washington State. This is coming out of Olympia, so it's Washington State, not Liberty State. But this affects those of you in Liberty. Legislation to ban long gun purchases by law-abiding adults to be heard in Olympia. And what they're talking about is a bill sponsored by Senator David Frocht, Democrat, so anti-American, would raise the minimum purchasing age for semi-automatic rifles and shotguns in the state of Washington from 18 years old to 21 years of age. 21 years of age, based on cosmetic features. Federal law already prohibits adults under the age of 21 from purchasing a handgun from a licensed firearm dealer. Legislative proposals to prevent law-abiding adults ages 18 to 20 years old from acquiring modern semi-automatic rifles or shotguns would deny them access to the most modern and effective rifles for self-defense, thus depriving them of their constitutional rights. I'll tell you what, my daughters in particular have been carrying 9mm semi-automatic handguns since they were old enough to drive. Once they began driving at night by themselves, they had Glock 9mm. And of course, they were trained and they're responsible young adults, really. I think it should be up to the parent to decide whether or not your kid is ready to have a firearm. But under a 20-year-old not being able to buy a semi-automatic shotgun or rifle for that matter, when do your God-given constitutional rights begin? So they're going to reduce crime. They're going to save lives because they are going to keep law-abiding citizens from being able to own a semi-automatic firearm until they're 21. Because at 21, something magical happens and something mysterious and supernatural happens. You suddenly become, you just transform from this murderous, evil creature to a responsible adult. It magically happens when you go from 20 to 21. I think, apparently. Morons. Okay, so I've got a couple of announcements before we take a break. Marble, God and Country Celebration. It always happens except for 1 year, but normally it happens the weekend before the 4th of July. Well, there have been some very serious health issues with a key person in particular, and they are saying they may not do a God and Country in Marble this year. And if they do, they may just do a very small, scaled down version. And those details are forthcoming. So, that's something we will definitely be there to support them and to be there for that. But we're within driving distance. So if you were thinking about buying plane tickets and attending this year, hold off until we get some more information. All right. That is a great, great event. But we also want to lift them up in prayer. That these really serious news, health news that someone just received there definitely impacts the whole planning and the whole event. And also another great event that happens every year in Prosser, Washington, the annual Patriot Preparedness Rally. They're saying that they may scale that way down this year. And they're not sure what they're going to do, if they're going to alternate every other year and have a big event and then have a little tiny small event like the a couple of years ago they held it and they called it the Rattlesnake Rendezvous, inspired by the Gadsden flag, the coiled rattlesnake on the Gadsden flag. It was just a really small gathering. They had some workshops for preparedness, but they didn't go big. Like last year and other years. So thinking about doing that again. So once again, I know many of you like to travel to that one. That's a great one if you're within driving distance, but don't buy plane tickets for that just yet. That would normally be the weekend of May 4th, May 5th, but we're still waiting on the final word for whether or not that's going to be a go or whether they're going to scale that way down to just have some local workshops, preparedness workshops, and a couple of speakers and not do something really big like normal. So there's two events there, big, huge events that AMRON, Radio Free Readout are very much involved in every year that may not be happening, or they may just be very scaled down versions. But there's other stuff coming up, and we'll be keeping you posted on those as we get more details. I can give you the details if you're in Liberty State and you want to go and listen to another presentation and a rally for Liberty State, in support of Liberty State. There's one going on March 31st. If you're within 2-4 hours driving distance and you haven't been able to attend one of these events, March 31st at 3 p.m. in Newport, Washington. We'll get that posted for you on our on the website, radiofreeredoubt.com. Got the poster here. We'll get that posted for you. Now, of course, that'll also be on our Facebook page. Liberty State is an initiative to separate the current landmass of Eastern Washington from Western Washington to form a new state. And that will be presented by Representative Matt Shea from the 4th Legislative District and Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance and the whole normal crew of suspects that will be there from the Constitution Drafting Committee and the 51st State Liberty State Committee. They're working to make all that happen. Will also be there. So we're looking forward to that. Mark your calendars if you're in the area. If you're not in the area and it's just not feasible, you're interested, go to libertystate.org where we've got the full-length video presentation with the slide presentations involved, included, over at libertystate.org. It's about an hour and 5 minutes long and very informative from great rally over in Colville, Washington last month. That's really exciting stuff. So there you go. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute right here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant, and no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Welcome back. This is segment two here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment two is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Our friends up there in the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho helping patriots and preppers just like you find the property that's right for you and to get strategically relocated to the heart of the American Redoubt. They help folks all the time. So check them out at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right, now, this week, I mentioned that I was going to go see 12 Strong, the movie. I've been looking for this for a long time. It is a story based on a true story. Actually, it's based on a book that covered this called Horse Soldiers from Doug Stanton, the author who wrote Horse Soldiers. So now here is a really good introduction to that by a YouTube channel titled We Are the Mighty. And so this will give you a really good overview of that operation and the men that were involved in that. So take a listen.
When the United States demanded the extradition of Osama bin Laden from the Taliban and the Taliban refused, the U.S. military saddled up and got to work. That's right, the cavalry made a comeback during the combat operations in Afghanistan that began after September 11th, 2001. Official combat operations didn't start until October 7th, 2001, with airstrikes and Tomahawk missile strikes against suspected al-Qaeda training sites near Kandahar, Kabul, and Herat. On November 16th, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld announced that we'd had limited number of forces on the ground for weeks. He was referring to the horse soldiers, U.S. special forces who were attempting to secure northern Afghanistan with the Afghan Northern Alliance. These elite troops were in Afghanistan to advise the Northern Alliance fighters in their war against the Taliban government. Just 2 days before the 9/11 attacks, Al-Qaeda operatives had assassinated Alliance leader Ahmed Shah Massoud, the man who had led wars against the Soviet Union and the Taliban. So when the American commandos arrived, the Northern Alliance fighters were ready for their own vengeance. But the only way to get around this country was on horseback. And for some of the Green Berets, it was their first time on a horse. Lieutenant Colonel Max Bowers told CNN it was like riding a bobcat. Sergeant First Class Joe Young, the team's medic and sniper, was thrown from his horse and broke his back, but he still continued with the mission. His rationale? I would not allow myself to be the weak link. It's not in my nature, and it's not in any Green Beret's nature. The horses had been trained to run toward gunfire, so Alliance charges against the Taliban resembled those from centuries ago. The difference being that the fighters had AK-47s instead of sabers. During the Battle of Mazar-e-Sharif, Sergeant Young treated Taliban fighters. They let one of the fighters go to tell other Taliban fighters that they were being treated humanely, and they would be too. This led to mass surrender after the battle. The Taliban POWs would later rise up and capture the arsenal at Mazar-e-Sharif, killing CIA operator Mike Spann, the first casualty of American operations in Afghanistan. It took 2 months for the Allied forces to defeat the Taliban government. Throughout the entire mission, Lieutenant Colonel Bowers carried a piece of the World Trade Center. After the fall of the regime, the special operators chose Mazar-e-Sharif to bury that iconic piece of steel with full military honors. Kentucky sculptor Dewey Bloomberg created a monument of these horse soldiers in honor of the entire military special operations community. The statue, the American Response Monument, is now at the World Trade Center site in New York City. Remember those who died in the tragedy of the Twin Towers, and let us all honor the men and women who have served our country.
All right, so that's pretty cool. That gives you a little idea of the kind of the backstory between this, and they did a good job with that. So go and check those guys out. We are the Mighty YouTube channel, and subscribe to that and give them a thumbs up on that video for taking the time to put that together. All right, 12 Strong. This was a great movie. And like I said, it was based on, we'll post the book here also in the highlights and resources posting by Doug Stanton. And it was originally called Horse Soldiers. Since then it's been changed to 12 Strong with a picture of the, you know, the actors from the movie. That image is now on the front of the book. So 12 Strong, the declassified true story of the horse soldiers. It came out in, that book came out in 2017. Doug Stanton, same author, same book, apparently. This comes right on the heels of me talking about toxic masculinity, and the Hollywood and the left are just reeling over this another manly man glorifying war type of movie. But you know, these men need to be remembered. These are harrowing stories. This is right up there. I would rate it a 4 out of 5 stars. I think it was well done, but not quite where Lone Survivor is a 5-star movie for me. This one, I'd say 4 stars. Technically, there were some things that drove me nuts. Just one example, these guys get off the helicopter and they're wearing their NODs, their night vision goggles. And they got this bright, almost like a green flashlight, luminesced front of the lens of their NODs, as if they're wearing them backwards or something. There's no green flashlight, look bright, luminescent green light on the front of NODs or your night vision goggles, night observation devices, NODs. That just bugged the snot out of me. That right there it's like a glowing green thing in the middle of the darkness that would make a beautiful headshot target. That's not realistic. They're not green. They're not luminescent. They're not bright and shiny on the front. They're just blacked out. So anyway, there were some technical things that just really, really bugged me. And then also there were some just cheesy lines that were this, you know, introspective, deep, you know, out of place with the conversation. It didn't even just fit the moment. The timing was off, and it was just, they wanted to slip it in there. How does a man leave his family to go to war? You're just like, you know, shut it. It didn't even fit. But anyway, otherwise, the movie was excellent. It was really good. What I I guess I wanted to give it 3.5 stars because of the technical details that were really wrong. And some of these out of place lines that you almost, you had a sense that the actor even hated it, but you know, that's just what they got to do. So that was a 3.5 stars, but what bumped it up to a 4 star for me was the accurate portrayal of the challenge of dealing with multiple militias and warlords, militia leaders who were part of a coalition that fell apart when the one central figure who held that coalition together, because of his reputation, his charisma, his leadership, proven track record, fighting against the Soviets and against the Taliban, had formed this alliance. He was assassinated. And that's when the alliance fell apart and all these warlords started vying for their own personal gain, personal positions. And it's like the CIA guy said, you know, in the movie, these guys will fight the Taliban and one of these other militias shows up, they're just as likely to stop fighting the Taliban and turn and start fighting each other. These guys hate each other. There's so much division going on. And I laughed. I was like, this is like militias in America. This is something that scared me for a long time, where I've seen the division among the ranks, where there is unification, but within some of these small cliquish groups, somebody makes a Facebook posting about someone else, someone gets offended. Next thing you know, they've got this little hate war going on, building up between them, and trying to call each other out and trying to undermine each other. And some of these, you know, guys were part of a militia and they didn't like the leadership's decision, so they broke off, they formed their own. Now they're rivals and they're bad-mouthing each other all the time. Now, this is nothing new. This is an age-old challenge that is really something very unique to Special Forces as far as their training. They are specifically designed insurgency, counterinsurgency, but especially insurgency is working with warlords that are warring against each other. They have their own war going on. That was one of the best lines in this movie, 12 Strong. We're talking about fighting this war together, and the captain, the team lead of the ODA, says these guys got their own war going. And they're fighting another war, a different war. In the midst of this larger war, they're fighting another smaller war. And it's true, they're fighting amongst themselves. This is going to be a challenge to American patriots if we ever got invaded or some evil communist regime took over our government and declared anybody who has an American flag and a Bible is now needs to be rounded up. Okay, and then a resistance forms. Then you've got all of these guys that who cannot unify, that have been dicking at each other for years on Facebook and Twitter and hate each other's guts. And there's a lack of unity. It is going to take a very powerfully strong, charismatic leadership to emerge. Now, a lot of guys, a lot of you out in this audience, you're what I call the unaffiliated. And those are people that don't, now I'm not talking about AMRON. AMRON operators, they are your nonpartisan in the sense that they are not really attaching themselves to, say, a militia or a group, Oath Keepers. We've got AMRON members in Oath Keepers. We've got AMRON members in 3% and in militias and mutual assistance groups. But the overwhelming majority just want to help serve their community in times of need. Now, on the tactical side, your trained warriors, let's call them warriors, most of them are not members of militias because militias are always nitpicking and fighting with each other. And then you got your 3% groups and some Oath Keeper groups that are also have a rivalrous type of relationships with one another in their communities. Now, most of your true warriors don't want to play that drama game. And so they are what you might call unaffiliated. They're waiting in the shadows. They're training. This is your 2 or 3 guy team. This is your 5 or 7 man team that are training regularly and they're sold out and they're committed to each other. And that makes the overwhelming majority of, in my estimation, and also my observations, historically speaking, you have a lot of people out there that won't join a group yet, but they are training and developing their skills. This, and I'm, of course, I'm pro-militia because this is a very much part of our American heritage, but I'm also disappointed to see the level of drama and just unnecessary squabbling and division. This is the same thing we've seen all over the world time and time again, one conflict after another. And this was really highlighted in this movie. The barriers that you have to overcome to be able to get these guys to unite. And where you have a militia leader taking charge of his own men and mostly out of pride, not wanting to be advised by someone else. They feel like they're losing a grasp on something that they've worked and nurtured and babied, and it's theirs. It's their piece of, it's their calling. It's, you know, what drives them and makes them who they are, and they're invested in this. And now somebody's going to come along and say, do it our way. You're going to get some resistance. You're going to get some pushback. So this is going to be a difficult thing to overcome. Now back to the unaffiliated. Most of our warriors, our patriot warriors, are unaffiliated. They don't blab their mouths about being on social media. They don't talk about what they do. They just do what they do. And these guys are observant, and they're watching from a distance. And it is the central leadership, the core of leadership, that seems to have their act together the most. That is who the unaffiliated warriors, which are the overwhelming majority, will begin to slowly gravitate under and say, hey, sir, been watching you for a while. You seem to have your crap together. And it is time for patriots to step forward, and we want to make ourselves available to you. So that's how it's going to go down. And a lot of the militia, let's just call them militia, because it could be any number of different warrior groups, whether it's 3% or whether it's Oath Keepers or whether it's militias or whether it's what have you, these affiliate groups where they're more organized and structured, they are going to have their own winnowing that's going to take place because of the infighting. So I want to advise, I guess I would encourage you to stay away from the drama, find some good, solid guys. If you want to be involved in a militia and they've got good, solid leadership, level-headed leadership that have accountability, you want this little general in charge of his own little world and doesn't want to take advice from anyone and not willing to fall under a higher authority, then if you got a good, really good squared away folks that are acting lawfully, then and training hard and they're committed, then I have no problem with that. But if you don't have something like that, you still need to train. Our warriors out there still need to train. I want to encourage you to continue to train, develop skills, and that frith, you know, that John Mosby talks about, that tight bond, that security that comes with that tight-knit group of guys that are in the trenches together and they're totally committed and sold out to covering each other's backs and their other families and things like that. And those are unaffiliated that are going to step forward. They don't care for drama. They're much more professional. They are much more mission-oriented. They're no-nonsense, no BS type of people. They don't want the limelight. They don't want fame and all that kind of stuff. And they stay away from social media. That's the most of you out there that are listening. So be watchful and get ready to support that command that will begin to emerge at some point in the future in your region. Be studying and paying attention. That will give you the legitimacy and the command and control. If they're really competent and you've been able to study them for a while, and for you to fall under at some point in the future. And it might not even be a bad idea to identify those people now and begin cultivating relationships with them. Your local leadership that tend to be more oriented toward their minds, or they understand where we're at as a country and where we're headed. We are in trouble. We are in trouble as a nation. We are greatly divided. We couldn't be more polarized. And it's not going to go away. It is not a temporary trend. This is something that's being fostered and fomented. And the lines are going to become clearer and the sides are going to become more hostile toward one another. So keep training, keep developing skills. This Trump era is only temporary. It is a temporary reprieve. Don't waste it. Okay. So train, get your comms up, get your medics trained up, build your local networks without egos in the way, and be observing the potential future command and control elements, the leadership that are going to need teeth in the policies that they will need to implement in order for us to preserve any semblance of Americanism, if that makes sense. I hope you're reading between the lines and getting what I'm saying. All right. Anyway, 12 Strong, great movie. I strongly recommend it. Lots of toxic masculinity. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some toxic masculinity and warriors in the Bible. So stand by, God-fearing patriots. We'll be right back.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
This is segment three, Radio Free Redoubt, and that is our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. Also, don't forget to check out amron.com, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. And we are going to be adding, I am going to dedicate a segment. I've been totally battling in my mind with this for the last month, or how I want to approach this. We need to get back to skills, and I've had folks say, you know, we need to get back to mentioning comms and covering communications, disaster communications in Radio Free Redoubt podcasts. And I agree. And so I've got a little list and outline about how I want to approach and kind of introduce that to you. And I was going to do that tonight because of time and phone calls. I've been on the phone all day. I just was not able to get segment four put together like I wanted to today. And I wanted to talk about communications and kind of reintroduce you, the listening audience, to emergency communications. Many of you are new listeners. You've heard something about AMRON, disaster communications. You're not really sure. You like the political thing. But there's another side to Radio Free Redoubt, and that's the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. And that is a way for like-minded patriots to stay informed, to share information, and to stay informed and stay connected during a major emergency disaster situation, something civil defense level type of communications network. And it's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding. It's very challenging. And it's been a great thing. So we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to talk about that next week because of the time constraints that I was under today getting ready. We're just going to do three segments for tonight's show. And so this segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you to plan out your property, with integrating water access, food supply, energy production, security features built into your the layout of your property. They also do a lot of stuff with water, securing your water rights, and they just offer several services. Great folks in the American Redoubt. Get a hold of them, strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right, now I wanted to finish up by talking about toxic masculinity and warriors in the Bible. This is really cool. I want to encourage you guys because this system is even within the church today. There's an attempt to demasculate warriors and try to, feminize men. And so this toxic masculinity, something we need to embrace, what they call toxic. But masculinity, there's nothing wrong with being a warrior, strong, godly man, and not a wimp. Christ is not a wimp. He's a warrior. He is the warrior of warriors. All right. He humbled himself for a period intentionally while he came to earth for a purpose. He filled that purpose. And when he was done with that, he allowed them to take his life so he could defeat death. All right. And when he's done, he picked up his sword again, and now he's back in on the throne. Okay. So, let's talk about this. One of the things that most fascinated me, I love 2 Samuel. I love reading about King David. There's several guys that are just really amazing, influential people. Joshua probably is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But David, I just love him. I can relate to him in so many different levels. But there's a really good article. There's lots of information out there, but there's one in particular that I liked. I had bookmarked a while back. And it's at overviewbible.com, David's Mighty Men. And it's a little infographic. It's got, images and everything. But I want to go to this right now. I want to give you a glimpse of what King David, who killed tens of thousands, he killed a lion, he killed a bear, he killed Goliath. He was the commander of King Saul's army. And he was a mighty warrior. And he had to kick some butt. And he did kick some butt. But I want to take you to this article real quick. You've probably heard about David's mighty men. If not, you'll be ahead of the curve in a minute. David was a skilled soldier and a leader, but he wasn't alone. He had a band of very loyal, very powerful heroes who stood by him. Why do they call them heroes? Well, they are heroes. These guys were... I'll steal a phrase that I went out on a limb and used last week. These guys are badasses. There's just no two ways about it. David was their leader, and he was a man after God's own heart. He's listed that as a Bible. In the Bible, he's described as a man after God's own heart. They accomplished incredible things in combat, stuff modern soldiers couldn't do, stuff fictitious soldiers couldn't do. Seriously, ever heard of Legolas from The Lord of the Rings? He killed 42 orcs in one battle. Okay, that's really great for Hollywood, but let's talk about real stuff. David's mighty men. God chose David to rule his nation of Israel. David was a skilled warrior himself. He got by with little help from his friends, the mighty men. These are the men who supported David militarily and politically. Their loyalty and impressive combat feats gained them honor and renown in David's kingdom. Here's an overview of just how mighty they were. Three of them are known as champions. They're described as champions. Jashobeam, chief of the captains, he killed 800 men at once with his spear. That's a bad dude. Eleazar, he fought alone with David until his hand clung to his sword. He couldn't ungrip. You ever grip something so tight that you couldn't, splitting wood or something like that, you couldn't ungrip? You couldn't, like, you had to peel your fingers off of this. That's the point that this guy got to, fighting alongside of David. Shema, he defended a plot of barley from an entire camp of Philistines. And then there was the 30, not strictly 30 individuals, rather a larger group of mighty men that served as the king's special ops force. Sometimes they were grouped into smaller squads. The three, David had a craving for water from a certain well in enemy territory, and an anonymous squad of three broke through the Philistine camp to get water for David. The men who pulled this off were known only as the three. Abishai, commander and most honored of the 30, his brother was Joab, one of David's military captains. He killed 300 men and the son of a giant. Benaiah, captain of David's guard, he killed two Moabite heroes, an Egyptian giant, and a lion. He also helped Solomon secure the throne after David died. And then, of course, there's a whole list of these other guys. Jonathan killed a giant. Sibekai killed a giant. These guys are just bad dudes. There's a whole list of them. Uriah, the loyal soldier, had a beautiful wife named Bathsheba. David wanted her for himself, so he stationed Uriah in part of the battle where he couldn't survive. Not cool, David, this article says. Well, the Chronicles account lists 17 more men by name and mentions another 30 led by a guy named Zabad. This infographic is only scratching the surface. We haven't even come close to covering all of David's officers and war heroes. But I want to encourage you guys to go and check it out for yourself. This is in 2 Samuel 23:8-39. Here's your homework assignment for this week. Men, mighty men, or mighty women of mighty men. The wives, the women of the mighty men. This is your homework assignment. Read 2 Samuel 23:8-39, and then read 1 Chronicles 11, chapter 11, verses 10-47. And we'll put this in the highlights and resources posting, and we'll probably make those into links that'll take you to the scriptures, like at BibleGateway.com or Bible Hub. Those, again, if you want to write those down, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8-39. And then also in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10-47, David's mighty men, warriors. This is one of several examples that I'm going to be covering over the next few weeks. Because we're being challenged, warriors. There's nothing wrong with being a warrior. Make sure your heart's in the right place. Don't do something stupid like trying to take one of your top warriors' wife for yourself. King David, he was a man after God's own heart, but he blew it on that one. And he paid the price for that heavily. God's not going to put up with that kind of nonsense. But he'll reward you greatly if you're willing to stand, to be strong, to be courageous, but use wisdom and have humility. He will use you for mighty things. And there is nothing wrong with being a warrior. Matter of fact, these times require it of us. So let's keep that in mind. A lot more to come on that. But we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. You guys have a blessed week. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. So awesome to have all of you out there. And I just want to wish you a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.